happiness and joy is a byproduct of living for something that's greater than yourself. As you pursue God, ultimately, you will be the most joyful person on earth. But it doesn't always, it's not always easy.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio, friends. I am your host, Joshua Hollick. So excited about this message. It's helped so many people. It's right from the Word of God in the book of James in a series titled Faith That Works. That's what we all want. Not just a belief that hangs on our wall or around our neck, but faith that actually changes our lives. And when it comes to the issue of temptation, wow, how practical is that? Every day of our lives, we're facing temptations. I recently went fishing with my son. He's a 3-year-old. He didn't know how it worked, and I was telling him, you have to hide the hook in the worm, son, because the fish love worms. They don't know that when they go for that juicy worm, there's going to be a price to pay. They don't know that there's going to be a catch, and really, they just want something yummy, but somebody else wants to put them in the frying pan. It's the same thing for us. We have an enemy, the Bible says, would love to drag us away. But God gives us wisdom from His Word in the book of James on how to understand the problem, what the process of temptation is, what our protection is, how do we avoid this, how do we live the life and destiny God wants for us. Today, as Pastor Mark opens up the Word for the second half of this message, we pray you would be greatly encouraged and inspired, because I believe there may be an issue in your life right now as you listen. There may be a temptation right now. It's on your mind. You can think of it. And God has sent you this message at such a time as this so that you also can avoid the temptation trap. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 18. Let's go there now.
The Bible never says that His goal is to make you happy. Just so you know that. God's goal for your life is not to make you happy. Happiness is a byproduct, not the end goal. Sometimes following God, it makes you sad in the beginning because it's difficult, but it's hard. Happiness and joy is a byproduct of living for something that's greater than yourself. As you pursue God, ultimately, you will be the most joyful person on earth. But it doesn't always, it's not always easy. And so you cannot back your way into morality. You have to start with what God says, not with what you think makes you happy. And so the philosophy of a lot of the world that we live in is we justify our behavior by something that makes us happy immediately. But I can guarantee you that what made you happy today will not make you happy tomorrow if you're violating God's standards, because you're going to want to switch out again for something else that's making you happy. And you go from relationship to relationship, from brokenness to brokenness, leaving a trail of messes behind you. And where did it start? With your desires. The desires that you have inside that aren't necessarily bad desires, but they're desires that you try to fulfill in an illegitimate way. So it says it starts with our own evil desires. And evil desire is a desire that we have not to be bad, but a desire to fulfill ourselves regardless of how we do it. That's an evil desire. So it starts with the desires inside of it that say, I want to put myself first. My goal in life is me, my happiness, my life, my dreams. I don't care who I have to leave, step on, do. I want to live for me. I want it to be about me. I want to be self-fulfilled. I want to be happy in life. I want to pursue what makes me feel alive and well and creative. And I want to make it all about me. And if I have to trample people and leave people and break commitments, it's okay, because ultimately I want to be happy. And when people go down that road, I've talked to them. I've been at their bedside when they're dying. And let me tell you, they are miserable. The ultimate unabashed pursuit of happiness, regardless of what it does to people, is called hedonism. Hedonism is the unabashed pursuit of happiness. That means that no one else matters but your happiness. And many of us live our lives that way and leave a trail of destruction behind us because we're just asking ourselves this question: what makes me happy today, right now, regardless of the consequences for tomorrow? So it starts with our own evil desires, and we're dragged away. Dragged away from what? Dragged away from the truth. Dragged away from God. Dragged away from God's ways. We have our desire and we feel like, well, God doesn't match up with my desire, so I feel like my desire should trump God's desire. We're dragged away from the truth, and then we're enticed. We're lured into something else. And then it says, then what happens? So it's an eternal desire. Our desire entices us. Desire gives birth to sin. And by the way, can I say this? There is healthy, godly desire. Not every desire that you have, God has given you desires. It's when those desires, if we try to fulfill those in an illegitimate way, like sex. Sex is a great desire. You were built to be a sexual being. God created you that way. It's not the devil's invention. It's God's invention. It's to attract a man to a woman and to satisfy themselves, to bring pleasure to one another, and in the process, procreation. Sex is a great thing. I was just talking to the singles not too long ago, and I was saying, you know, sex is not a bad thing. It's a God thing. It's a good thing made for your pleasure. In fact, I'm thinking about getting a t-shirt that says Christians do it better, but my wife wouldn't let me wear it. Just a side note, she would not let me wear that t-shirt. The problem is not with sex. The problem is how we go about sex. And outside of the boundaries of a monogamous, committed relationship within the covenant of marriage. And when it's outside of that, then it messes up a lot of people. It leaves pregnancies aside. It leaves venereal diseases all around. It leaves broken hearts there. It leaves people selfishly seeking just to satisfy themselves for a one-night stand. It's not in the context of this beautiful, powerful thing called sexual intimacy that happens with a couple as they grow with one another in a monogamous relationship. God designed it that way. In that context, it's awesome. Outside of that context, it becomes destructive. And so desire is not a bad thing. It's how we go about fulfilling that desire that causes us to fall into temptation. And so he says, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. It starts in my head. The desire starts to grow. I think about it, conceive about it. I'm already in that direction. Then I act on it and it gives birth to sin. What is sin? If you were to, the actual definition of sin is missing the mark. So God says, hey, the middle of the target is how I want you to live. When you hit over there, over there, over there, that's called sin. No, it's not living according to God's way, his higher standard, his best plan. And so it gives birth to sin. And then sin gains strength. It says, then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin starts to grow like a child in gestation, starts to grow. And then when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death, spiritual death. It starts to control our life. As a believer in Jesus Christ and a follower of Christ, you can still let this happen in your life. You can let sin conceive. You can let it grow. You can let it gain momentum in your life. And you can let it begin to control your life even as a believer. And so when it's full grown, it gives birth to death. And here's the thing about this, is that the lie that the enemy gives us is to convince us that the pursuit of our own desires will somehow make us happier than pursuing God's way. That's the great lie from the beginning. The great lie from the beginning is that if I try to do it God's way, I'm going to be unhappy. So I should do it my way, because my way is going to make me happier. The essence of sin is a distrust of God. That's the essence of sin. The essence of sin is that I think that my way will make me happier than God's way. That's the essence of sin. And notice what it says. In James, he uses the fishing analogy. When he talks about this, he says it's dragged away and enticed. That's how it drags us away. Sin is like that. You know, when I was a boy, some of you know that I grew up in northern Spain in a really small village with unpaved streets, and that my telephone number was 8. Yeah, 8. So I grew up in the country. You know, in the country, you do country things. So my buddy taught me how to fish for frogs. And so what he would do, he'd get a fishing pole, and he would find a bright colored red flower, and we would put it on the end of the fishing pole, the hook. Go to the pond where all these frogs were croaking, and we would throw out the fishing line with the little flower on it, and we would hang it over the pond. These frogs would look at it, and they were enticed by the colors, thinking that this is a juicy butterfly. And so they would, if you've ever seen these frogs, they'd throw out their long tongue, wrap around it, bring it into their mouth. Little did they know that there was a fishing hook there, and we would just reel the frog out like this big frog, their legs hanging. You say, well, why would you do that? Actually, my friend's mother would cook them, and then we'd eat them. Gross. Hey, they serve it in fancy restaurants as well. Frog legs taste a little bit like chicken. A little bit like chicken. I know some of you are saying, I trust you, but I'm not going to try it. The point is that this frog was enticed by the colors, thinking this is going to bring pleasure to my life, but ultimately, what looks like it's going to bring pleasure actually is a trap to death. Sin is always that way. It overpromises, it underdelivers, and that's what James is trying to tell us, is that it looks good from the outside, but in the end, really, we don't know that what we're getting is something that's going to do damage to our life. If we only understood that what you're pursuing outside of God's way, that right now seems to give you immediate pleasure, that it seems to be good, it seems to be harmless, and you say, well, I'm not hurting anybody, what could be bad in this? So at 12 o'clock at night, you click on a couple porno sites, and you spend about 45 minutes hanging out on a porno site, and you say, I don't see what's wrong with that, I'm not hurting anybody, you know, I like it, makes me feel good, but what you don't know is that the Bible talks about, hey, you're filling your mind with stuff that's going to affect your relationships in the future, and this distorted images that you are creating in your mind, and this expectation that you are creating for your future relationships, and this using other people that you don't know detaches you from any emotional relationship and causes you to see women as objects of your fulfillment that ultimately affects your relationship.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Temptation Trap, which is from Pastor Mark's new series called James, Faith That Works. After the broadcast, I will tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of James, and tonight's Straight Talk message is called Temptation Trap.
It seems harmless. Let me tell you, ultimately, there's damage that it brings to your soul and to your life. If you only knew what you were getting into and what it does, you would walk away from it a lot more rapidly. I heard of a principal that was trying to... Junior high girls were going into the junior high bathroom, and they got into this whole thing that they were putting lipstick marks on the mirror. So they were putting lipstick on, and they were, you know, kissing the mirror. And so the janitor had to keep cleaning it and was a little tired of it. So the principal took a bunch of junior high girls into the bathroom and said, look what's happening here. And they all just kind of looked at each other and giggled. And he said, we want this to stop. It's creating a lot of mess for our janitor. He's got to do this all the time. And so he had talked to the janitor in advance. The janitor took the wipey that cleans mirrors, and he says, look what he's got to do. And he went to the toilet, and he dipped it into the toilet, and then he cleaned the mirror like that on the toilet. He's got to do this every day. They had no more lipstick problem after that. No one was kissing that mirror. Yeah. Hey, if you only knew what you were kissing when you sign up for sin, if you only knew what you're getting close to, if you only knew the garbage that you had, you would stop right away, but you don't. And that's the point, right? God is saying to us, hey, if you only knew the garbage that you're kissing, if you only knew the junk that you're really letting into your life, you think it's innocent, you think nothing much is happening, but every time you violate God's way, ultimately, you're opening up the door to a lot of garbage in your life. Number three, the protection. Understand the protection. So in verse 16, James then gets to the core. Not only has he talked to us about the root of temptation, understand the process, but now he also wants us to understand the antidote, sort of the power that we have to break the power, to break temptation over our lives. And to understand protection, you need to understand that deception is the power of temptation, while truth and trust are our defense. So in verse 16, he says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers." Don't be deceived. In other words, don't buy into the lie that your way may be better than God's way. That somehow you know what God says the way it should go, but that somehow you think that doing it your way is more pleasurable in the end, gives you more success in the end, will be better for you in the end. He says, don't be deceived by it. You're lying to yourself. It's a deception that lures you in. There's not a man that I know, and I've dealt with a lot, that when they did their first hit of heroin, thought, yeah, I want to live under a bridge with tracks up and down my arm. I want to live under that bridge, and when my veins in my arm collapse, I'm going to start shooting myself up in the neck. Yeah, that's my goal, that none of my family would care about me anymore, that I would burn every bridge that I've had, that my physical life would deteriorate, that my teeth would start falling out, that all I would care about is the next tie, that my health would go down, that I would be jobless. Yeah, one day I'm going to live under a bridge and be a heroin addict that's this close to death and maybe die of HIV because I put one more needle in my... Yeah, that's my desire. No, no one starts that way. They simply start by saying, I want to feel good. It's just an innocent desire to feel good. Life is stressful. My friends are around. I just want to feel good for a little bit. And this makes me feel good. You see, that's the trap that lures us in. Fast forward it 5 years. And it's under the bridge. But the first is not that. The first is, hey, this will make you feel good. And in the beginning, it's like that abusive boyfriend. That in the beginning, he smothers you with compliments. And you feel like, man, he cares about every detail of my life. Little do you know, he's a control freak. About to manage every area of your life and become abusive and controlling and threatening you. But in the beginning, he seems like this greatest guy that cares about everything you do, that's real connected, that wants to know everything about your life, that's protecting you from all the bad people around them. And you don't know that he's really a control, abusive person, that 5 years from now, you'll be downtrodden, beaten up, and wondering, how did I ever get involved with this guy? Sin is the same way. When we allow it to get a hold of our life. And so he says, don't be deceived, my brothers. In verse 17, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So in essence, what James tells us is, hey, God's way may be harder, but ultimately, God's way is best because every good gift comes from God. God has a purpose and a plan, and it may not be the easiest. God's goal is not to make you miserable. God's goal is to, all the laws of the word of Scripture, all the laws in Scripture are not to make you miserable, but are to make you ultimately live a life that honors Him and brings the greatest joy to your life. In the beginning, they seem hard. If I'm going to talk to a 20-year-old and say, hey, by the way, the Bible says don't have sex until you're married. What? Seriously? I mean, it's like the Bible's torture. No, no. It's hard, but ultimately it's good. It's not the easy path, but ultimately it's the greater path that leads to the greatest fulfillment and joy in your life. And so he says, don't be deceived. Every good gift that comes from God, every good gift that's in life comes from the Father. Every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. God is not bad trying to take joy out of your life. I've had this conversation with a lot of people that says, you know, one day I'll follow God. Right now, I'm 21 years old. I'm not ready to settle down. When I'm 40 and have 3 kids and ready to settle down, then I think I'll get into the God thing. But right now, God's cramping my style because it feels like I can't do a lot of things. No. God's not cramping your style. What God is doing is God is teaching you how to really live so that you'll have real joy in your life. And when you're 40, you don't have a messed up family and messed up kids and messed up life and a heart that's full of problems that you have to go to therapy for a long time to get over. God has a plan that's better for you. Not an easy plan, but a plan that's better for you when you follow His plan. And so the ultimate thing here is understanding. What is deception? Deception opens the door to fall into temptation at the core. It's doubting God's goodness. Deception that says God's way is ultimately not the best for me. Deception that says God cannot really be trusted with my life. Deception that says God is not truly watching out for my best interest. Do you realize that Adam and Eve fell because the serpent said to them, God really is not watching out for the best. God told you not to eat from this tree because He doesn't want you to have powers like He has. Are you really going to listen to God? You know, that same lie has been perpetuated for thousands of years, person to person. Can you really trust God's way over your own desires? What is the truth that helps us stay strong? Just understand this, and I'm closing up with this. Listen, God gives us only good gifts. Everything in the world comes from God. If it did not come from God, it is not good. God gives us. Don't mess up the good gift God gave you. Amen. Do you realize that God could give you a good marriage and you could mess it up? God could bless you with a pregnancy. But you could really mess up that family environment. God could give you health that you despise and destroy because you got to do 2 packs of Marlboro every day. You know, God gives us gifts that are from Him, but we can take those gifts and we can really ruin those gifts and then kind of blame it on God. God, what'd you do to me? No, God didn't do anything but give you a good gift and tell you how to manage that good gift and ask us to manage it His way so that ultimately you'll give Him honor and glory, but be best for your life. Temptation, what it does is it takes us the other way. Not only does God give good gifts, He gives consistently. It says coming down from heaven. That's written in the present participle in the Greek, which means it keeps coming down from heaven. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. And God does not change, by the way. Thank God that He is not moody. Whoa. How many of you have moody people in your life and you say, I wonder how they're going to feel today? If your spouse, please don't point to them right now or elbow them. But let's just say that we got moody people in our life. And you're just wondering, I wonder how they're feeling today. God is not moody. He does not change. You don't go to God saying, I wonder if I'm going to get wrath or love today. No, God is the same. Today, yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging. He is true to His promises. He is faithful 100%. Not like shifting shadows. And it says in verse 18, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we may be the first fruits of all creation. So He says, don't be deceived by lies, but then remember that He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, through the gospel. It's the gospel that gives you. Listen, I'm not talking about trying to live a moral, upright life. I'm talking about being changed from the inside. If you're here today and you say, I'm trying to be good, I'm trying to fight temptation, but you've never been born again, then you have lost the battle already because you cannot live God's way without God's power.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called James, Faith That Works, and tonight was the second half of his message called Temptation Trap. Join us again tomorrow as we start part three of the series, Where Does It Come From? As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow as we start a brand new message in our series in James. Have a great night, and God bless.